And so we're going to go into our next lesson, lesson number 5. It's called The Days of Genesis. I want to begin by asking a question, or I guess you could say it's a riddle. When is a day not really a day?
Before it was a day. As far as Israel's concerned, in the beginning of the First Testament, they value a day from sunrise till sunset. And that kind of confuses us, because we always think about a 24-hour day, and we have to look at that pretty carefully to figure out what day they're talking about.
Well, they started theirs in the morning, we start ours at night, but it's still 24 hours.
Yeah.
But the point I'm trying to make here is, when is a day not really a day? When evolution say it isn't.
When there's no sun, you know, if there's no
when evolutionists say it's not a day, to them it's no day. That's the reason that, you know, as we were saying, our textbooks, they're the ones that write the textbooks. They're the ones that define the terms as far as what's being taught. And so when they say a day is not a day, people just jump on the bandwagon and say, okay, it's not a day. So, when we talk about the days of Genesis chapters 1 and 2, are we talking about literal 24-hour days, or could we be talking about vast periods of time? We read in Genesis chapters 1, well actually chapters 1 and 2, but I want to look at chapter 1 verses 3 and 5, when God talks about the first day of creation. This is what he says. Then God said, let there be light, and there was light. And God saw the light, and it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness, and God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. So the evening and the morning were the first day. So is God talking about one 24-hour day, or is he talking about a vast period of time when he's explaining to us what he did on day one? Did he do it in that 24-hour period? Or did he spread it out over a large or a vast period of time? That's the question we want to answer in this lesson. How long is a day when we read it in Genesis chapters 1 and 2? Joe.
Let me ask you one question. Where did the light come from?
A lot of people, of course, ask that question. God didn't create the sun until what day?
The fourth
day. So where did this light come from?
We have to go to the last book in the Bible to find that out.
What does it say?
It says that in heaven it's always day, and God is the light.
God is light. So he could have been the light. Or he could have created something else just to keep the light going until he created the sun. He doesn't tell us. The only thing he tells us is that, let there be light. So it seems to be, let there be light means let it happen right now, which if God was the light would have already been there. So to me, it almost seems like he's saying, let there be light. He doesn't explain to us what that light is, but some light source that will suffice until I get the creation done. So whatever that light was, God created it. He says, let there be light. And that light was good. So God divided the light from the darkness. So there was a day and there was a night. And then he says, so the evening and the morning were the first day. But it was without form and void at that time.
Yes, but it was still round and without void. I mean, it was totally water, you know, but still, it was round and was rotating.
Could have been. Again.
So there's the light and the darkness.
Verse 2 says it was without form.
Without form and void, yeah. So it could have been a blob. It could have been, you know, God, that's one thing about, somebody mentioned one time, that the Bible had to have been written by God. If it had been written by men, they would have filled in a lot more of these details. We would have been, okay, what happened? What happened? We want the details. God doesn't give us those details. He just says, there it is.
Well, we know that it was water because then he made the dry ground come forth.
Well, then the Spirit was hovering over the face of the waters. Yeah, it was a water. Again, it was it. Was it perfectly round? Was it a blob? We don't know. But it was without form. We know that. So God is just kind of like an artist on a canvas. He just starts putting paint on there. And when you look at somebody, when they start painting, you think, okay, what in the world is this going to be? It's like a mess to me. But as they finish, it's a masterpiece. Well, that's kind of what God's doing here. He's putting this stuff out there. It's not refined yet, but it's there. It's the material that he's going to be using to create the universe, to make it to what we have today, what we see today. So again, God doesn't tell us all the details. We know that on day one, he created light. What was that light? We don't know. We know it wasn't the sun because he didn't create that till day four. So, but he had a light, but he refined it in day four and set out the sun, the moon, and the stars. So that's kind of how I look at things, is it's a canvas out there, and God is doing his work, his masterwork. And he's putting it out there. It's without form and void, and each day he begins to materialize it a little bit more, refine it a little bit more. Until day six, it's complete. And he says, it is good. We notice that in the natural reading of Genesis, it points to the idea that is speaking of a normal 24-hour day. If you just look at it, you read it each day, evening and morning. As Don was saying, you know, generally we think of morning and evening. A lot of times in the Old Testament, it's the evening and the morning, just the opposite of way how we look at things. But still, it's talking about a 24-hour day. But the idea that the days mentioned in the first chapters of Genesis are talking about 24-hour days is hard for many people who believe in evolution to accept. And why is that?
Because it kind of kills their whole theory.
They have to have billions of years. And so, if the earth was created in 6 days, then that would kind of point to the fact that the earth really isn't that old. But yet, the evolutionists say, again, in our last lesson we had that 24-hour time clock up there that condensed all the time of the earth into 24 hours. They said everything happened gradually. And layer upon layer of rock was formed after year after year after year. And it took billions of years for those rocks to form. Because when we do the test, when we do the carbon dating, we're doing all that kind of stuff, it shows it to be billions or millions of years old. But we've talked about the fact that there is the idea of the earth appears to be old because God created it that way. When he created Adam and Eve, were they just a one-cell organism? No. They were full-grown. They were mature. They were to the point of being able to reproduce. And that was true with all of God's creation. So if you looked at God's creation 2 minutes after he created it, it may have looked like it was millions of years old.
He created a sequence too. If you notice, he didn't create animals first. He created the grass or whatever they plants or whatever they're going to be eating first. In other words, his creation, the 6 days that he had, were made so everything would be able to rely on the other for food and for, in other words, to repeat itself to create itself from the original.
Yeah, God had a plan, and he worked that plan and created the universe. As we've seen from our previous lessons, those who believe in evolution need billions of years of time for their theory to even have a far-fetched, impossible, illogical, against all odds, chance of happening. As we've seen in our last lesson, the evidence doesn't point to evolution. It points to creation. But yet, if they want to have that slightest chance, if they have that least little hope, the only thing they've got is time. If the earth is just a few thousand years old, even they say there's no way evolution could have happened. So they have to inject billions of years of time somewhere.
And yet your Big Bang theory, that God creating a mud ball covered with water, kind of shoots the Big Bang theory because it happened instantaneously, and everything was, like you said, molten lava. And it had to cool. Well, to cool it, you had to have billions of years, theoretically. But if God created the world, and it was, if true, it was null and void, but the Spirit of God was on the deep, over the deep. I take that as water. But that shoots your Big Bang theory in the head, doesn't it?
Well,
if it starts off cool, where's the cooling period?
Now, the Big Bang theory we've talked about is wrong to start off with, because where did the material start off? Where did they get the material? And the evolutionists have no idea. You know, one theory was that the universe was compressed into the size of one atom. Well, that's good. But where did all that material come from? It doesn't happen by itself. And so, like I said, every time you go back and talk about evolutionists, when they go back to the beginning, they have problems. They don't have an adequate antecedent cause. They don't have anything that could have caused it that's powerful enough to do it. We've talked about the fact that either matter or spirit is eternal. And we went through and saw the logical argument that spirit is eternal. Even scientists say matter is not eternal. But something had to have always been here. So what was it? God. He has always been here. Dr. George Wald of Harvard University, a proponent of evolution, admitted that the theory does have its problems, really.
Well, even God to start with, you know, he made man out of dust, and then he took the rib of a man to make the woman. He didn't make her out of dust. He changed his genesis. What in the woman? Because she wasn't made out of dust, just the man was.
Yep, he made her out of man to show that they're one. Yep. But Dr. Wall stated that some of the things that seemed impossible could be done if there was enough time. Time itself, he said, performs the miracles needed for evolution to occur. He went on to state that time is the hero of evolution. But even with billions of years of evolution, nothing begets nothing. We've talked about that. If nothing always existed, what would be here now? Nothing. So something had to have always existed. And it wasn't matter. It was God, Spirit. What George Wald is saying is that if we have enough time, we don't need God. That's what he's saying. And that's how they believe. They do not want to believe in God. They'll believe in anything other than saying that God did it. Robert Jastrow, agnostic and popular science writer, stated, "The key to Darwin's explanation is time and the passage of many generations." So the key to evolution is time. That's what the evolutionists want. Time is important for those who believe in evolution, so they must figure out a way to put billions of years into the creation account, as recorded in Genesis chapters 1 and 2. And they try, and they try, and they try. They need vast periods of time, and that is why they so strongly oppose a young earth. That's probably the biggest dividing point between creationists and evolutionists, is the age of the earth. Because with the earth being young, when you look at the Bible and read it literally, it's nothing more than just a few thousand years that we've been here. And yet evolution says that's impossible, because The theory of evolution says it's billions of years. So that's the reason I said that when evolutionists look at evidence or look at the facts, their minds are already made up, so they make it conform to their viewpoint. And they do the same thing here in Genesis chapters 1 and 2. They look at it and read it and say, well, it logically and looks like it should be 24-hour days, but it can't be because we know that it's been billions of years. So how can we put those billions of years into the creation account? One way they try to put vast periods of time into Genesis chapters 1 and 2 is to say that the days of creation week are not really literal 24-hour days. People have come up with ideas that say that each day consisted of billions of years, while others say billions of years came about between Genesis chapter 1 and verse 1 and Genesis chapter 1 and verse 2. Let's read Genesis chapters 1, verses 1 and 2, and see if you can find out some place to put vast periods of time. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. End of verse 1. Verse 2, the earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. So do you see where they put billions of years in there? Yeah, poor rain. This is what they do. And they have a big theory about this. That there was billions of years between verses 1 and 2.
It says when the earth was without form, it means there just wasn't anything occurred there but space before God.
Like I said, it's talking about the face of the waters. There was waters, face of the deep. What shape it was in, don't know. How big it was, what it was doing. Again, God doesn't give us a lot of detail. He's just there. But it was without form and void. One theory states that there's a vast period of time between verses 1 and 2, as we just stated. And this is not true, and we'll discuss this more in our next lesson. We'll talk about creation compromises. So we're going to talk about some of these theories that people have on how they can interject all this time into the creation account. But one of those, and we'll talk about it later, is right there between verses 1 and 2. Some place that, I mean, when you read Genesis 1 and 2, that'd be about the last place I'd want to put time. Billions of years. But yet, this is what they do. And like I said, they got a whole theory centered around that. But we'll look at that a little bit more in our next lesson. But right now, are the days of Genesis 1 and 2 really literal 24-hour days? And if not, we need to ask some of these questions. If the creation did not take place in six 24-hour days, then did it actually rain 40 days and nights at the start of the flood? That's what we're told. If a day is not really a day, then what is a day? Was Jonah truly in the belly of the great fish for just 3 days? Was Jesus' body in the tomb for 3 days? If you cannot believe Genesis chapters 1 and 2, then can you truly believe that God had the power to raise Christ from the dead on the third day? If God is not being truthful in Genesis chapters 1 and 2, why should he be truthful to the rest of the Bible? That's the questions we need to ask, especially if you believe in evolution. If God's account of creation is actually a fable and not truth, then why should we take the rest of what God says is truth? These are all good questions, because if we do doubt the truth of what God says concerning the days of creation, then why should we trust anything else that God says? If we can't believe God in Genesis chapters 1 and 2, why should we believe him through the rest of the Bible? And that's exactly what Satan wants. Satan wants to put doubt in the minds of people. And so that's what evolution is. It's a false theory to get people away from God. It's a theory not from Darwin. He may have stated it, but guess where it came from? The father of all lies, Satan. He twisted God's word from the very beginning in the Garden of Eden, and he continues to do that today. Anything to get people to doubt But that's what God truly means. So what about the days of creation? Are they literal 24-hour days, or are they vast periods of time? And that's the debate that goes on between, as I said, evolutionists and creationists. The Hebrew word for day is yom. The word yom can carry with it the meaning of a literal day or a period of time based upon its usage and language constructions. Those who believe in evolution argue that the days in the creation account are long periods of time. But the question is, are they? Let's look at some clues that God has given us in His Word that will help us to understand the true meaning of the word day as used in the first two chapters of Genesis. We need to remember that language is meant to communicate ideas. God used certain words and used those words in such a way as to communicate to mankind exactly what He wants us to know. Who created language? God. Who better knows and understands language than God? If God wanted to present to us the idea of vast periods of time for each one of those days, He could have done that. But He didn't. And we're going to look at some of the things that God has kind of put in place, little markers that say, look, this is what I mean. This is what a day is. He doesn't just use the word day and leave it at that. He gives us some clues on what that day means, what that word means. Thank you for your attention and comments. And before we're dismissed, let's have a word of prayer. Our dear Heavenly Father, we thank You for this beautiful day that You've given us. We thank You for the rains You've sent our way. We pray You be with us as we strive to lead the Christian life and we follow You. We pray that You be with those that are sick and going through the surgeries and are healing, that Your healing hand would be upon them. We pray now as we go our ways that we'll be a light in the community and that we'll always study and look at Your Word and see what You have to say and tell us, and that we may believe what You say. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.